Welcome to TWIT for the week of January 9th. This is Sarah McGann from KPMG's Washington National Tax State and Local Tax Practice. Today we're going to cover some significant developments that occurred in the last couple weeks of 2022. First up, the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court affirmed an appellate tax board decision holding that for tax periods prior to Wayfair, the commissioner could not impose a use tax collection and remittance responsibility on an out-of-state retailer whose presence in Massachusetts was limited to the placement of cookies and apps on the computers and portable devices of its Massachusetts customers. The commissioner's own regulation setting forth the obligation to collect for such retailers was tied to the Quill standard, and in the court's view, the use of cookies, apps, and content delivery networks did not constitute sufficient physical presence under Quill. Next up, the North Carolina Supreme Court reviewed a lower court decision that had held that, in light of the U.S. Supreme Court's holding in the Dilworth case from 1944, North Carolina could not compel a Wisconsin-based printing company to collect sales tax on materials mailed into North Carolina to customers. On appeal, the state's high court concluded that although Dilworth was never explicitly overturned, the formalism doctrine established in Dilworth had not survived more recent U.S. Supreme Court decisions in Complete Auto and Wayfair, and therefore the imposition of North Carolina sales tax as opposed to use tax passed constitutional scrutiny. In Kentucky, the state Supreme Court addressed the distinction between a taxable repair part and an exempt supply. The court concluded that the question as to whether tangible personal property is a tax-exempt supply or a taxable part, if all the other characteristics of a tax-exempt supply are met, may be resolved by whether the tangible personal property has the characteristics of being consumed in the manufacturing process and having a useful life of less than 1 year. With the conclusion that specific tangible personal property is a supply, its defining characteristics exclude it from being categorized as a repair, replacement, or spare part, and the statute cannot be construed in an absurd, inconsistent manner to allow the same tangible personal property to be viewed also as a part. The last case we'll cover today is from Pennsylvania. Recently, the Commonwealth Court issued a ruling addressing the state's unconstitutional flat dollar NOL cap, which was struck down in the 2017 Nextel decision. Although the taxpayer at issue calculated its tax liability for the tax year applying the valid percentage cap, the court noted that the taxpayer was disadvantaged when compared to small corporate taxpayers that utilized the flat dollar NOL cap and paid no taxes. To equalize the actual tax positions and provide meaningful backward-looking relief as required to remedy the due process violation, McKesson requires that either the favored taxpayers be assessed additional taxes or the unfavored taxpayer be refunded the taxes it paid. Because the statute of limitations precluded the department from assessing the favored taxpayers, the Commonwealth Court concluded that the only remedy available to cure the uniformity clause violation was to issue the taxpayer a refund of the taxes it paid after it applied the percentage cap. It is not yet known whether the decision will be appealed. In legislative news, Ohio House Bill 223, which expands an existing sales tax deduction for bad debt, was signed into law. As a result of the law change, the deduction will be allowed even if debt is charged off on the books of certain third parties and not the books of the vendor. In New Jersey, legislation was signed that ends the extended statute of limitations on assessments that was tied to the ending of the COVID-19 state of emergency. The legislation, Assembly Bill 4295, also adopts the new federal partnership audit regime and eliminates the requirement to affirmatively elect New Jersey S-corporation status. Finally, Michigan Governor Whitmer vetoed Senate Bill 195, which would have revised the computation of the 163J limitation for Michigan corporate income tax purposes retroactively for tax years beginning on and after January 1, 2022. Thank you for listening to TWIST this week, and stay well.